time we were with you was in the fall, and now here we are, and it's already, well, I guess it's, is it this spring so far? Summer doesn't start till, what, June? So, but it's, feels like just a few weeks ago that we were with you, and here it's already been several months. So we've been all over since we were here. We were on our way out to Colorado when we came through, and then we've been back on the east in Pennsylvania and New York and down to Florida, South Carolina, Virginia, so all over the place. And now we have a few more meetings out here. I had one in Oklahoma, one in St. Louis, and then we're going to be going up to Iowa here in a couple weeks. So Lord's been good to us. We are actually, we have reached 100% of our support. So we are actually at 105% as of Monday. Another church just informed us that they took us on last Sunday. So that puts us over 100%. So we're very thankful for the Lord's provision for us. So we are looking at a date when we can return to India. Things are really uncertain now with COVID-19. India's borders are still closed to international travel. They're only letting in some business visas. So it's hard to tell when that will change. My wife needs a tourist visa, and they're not offering any visas right now, especially tourist visa. So we're taking on a month-by-month basis. The current restrictions are lasting. Today is the last day of the current restrictions, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. And they may extend it for the rest of April, or they may ease it up a little bit, but I have a feeling that they're probably going to just extend it for all of April as well. So you'd be praying about that the Lord would allow the country to be reopened again so that we can get back soon. I have been in touch with our academic dean at the college, and he's already assigned me classes. So if we can't get back in time for the new school year in June, hopefully I can do some teaching online. We'll see how that works. But for first semester, they would like me to teach, let me see if I can remember. I think it's dispensations and introduction to systematic theology. And then second semester, they'd like me to teach Hebrew and then continue on with systematic theology. So Lord willing, we can be able to contribute that way. But right now, just uncertain when we can get back in the country. We do have meetings lined up all the way through the end of June. So we'll be continuing with those meetings. And then we aren't adding any more since we're at 100%, since we're looking to be able to get back to India. So thank you so much for your support. And we're very, very thankful to be able to partner with you in advancing Christ's kingdom in India. How many of you remember the Y2K, the Y2K scare? most of you are old enough to remember that. That was the year 2000. I was 14 years old in the year 2000, so I remember it pretty well. There were other things that happened in the year 2000 besides the Y2K. And one of those was the publishing of a book. It wasn't a very large book. It was kind of a small book. The thing about this book, it appeared on the New York Times bestseller list, on the Washington Post bestseller list. And most of those books are secular books, but this one is actually a Christian book, which made it distinctive. How many of you remember, may recognize the author of this book. His name was Bruce Wilkinson. You recognize that name? What did he write? Prayer of Jabez, yes. How many of you have read the book, The Prayer of Jabez? Okay, I see two hands. My hand's not up. I haven't read it. It kind of had mixed reviews among Christians. Some people said, oh, this is a great book. Everyone needs to read The Prayer of Jabez. Awesome book. And then others said, oh, this is a terrible book. Stay away from it. Heresy, health, wealth, prosperity ought to be thrown in the trash. Now, I've never read the book, so I can't tell you which perspective is accurate. But one of my professors at Bob Jones, he wrote a review of the book. So let me read to you his final authoritative analysis of this book. He says, weaknesses, and it's obviously obvious new evangelical orientation. The book contains inspirational illustrations, biblical principles, and God-centered vision and values. Overall, it is not a great book, but it is a book about great truths. So to the degree that it contributes to the reader's expanded understanding and appreciation of these truths, it is a good book. So it kind of goes both ways. Well, it's not a great book, but if it points you to the truth of God's Word, it can be a good book. So I can't personally affirm the accuracy of that statement since I haven't actually read it, but I think that's probably pretty close to the mark. But we do want to look at the prayer of Jabez tonight. Not the book, the prayer of Jabez. It actually is in Scripture. And now I was talking with the sound folks before the service, so if you overheard me talking to the sound folks, you can't answer this question, okay? But do you know where, what book of the Bible, the prayer of Jabez is found? Anybody know? It starts with the book of First Chronicles. And the chapter, early on, chapter 4. So go ahead and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Prayer of Jabez can almost be a theologian's happy hunting grounds. You can make it say anything you want to, at least if you're Bruce Wilkinson, maybe. But we're not Bruce Wilkinson tonight, and we'll just be looking to see if we can, what this passage says, and see what kind of application we can draw from it. Let's go ahead and read just two verses, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 9 and 10. Hold on just a minute while I actually turn to it myself. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Well, first of all, the first question we want to ask and investigate is, who was Jabez? Well, the Bible really doesn't tell us much about Jabez. It reveals very, very little about this man. In fact, the man, Jabez, appears only here in these two verses of our Bible. It doesn't appear anywhere else. The name Jabez does appear back in chapter 2, verse 55, but there it's the name of a city where some scribes live. But the man himself appears only in these two verses. We really don't have much that we're told explicitly about him. One of the fundamental rules of Bible interpretation is context. Whenever you're looking at a passage of Scripture, you always want to look at the context, the verses that come before and the verses that come after. So as we look at this, we want to, as we try to figure out who Jabez is, we want to look at the context to see if this will give us any clues as to this man. So let's go ahead and read the couple of verses before our passage. Let's start reading in verse 6, see if this helps us out any. And Naarah bare him Ahuzam and Hepher and Temeni and Hashtari. These were the sons of Naarah. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethnan. And Kaz begat Anub and Zeboba, and the families of Aharhal, the son of Harum. And then we jump down to verse 11. We'll read a couple of these verses. And Kelub, the brother of Shua, begat Mahir, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begat Beth-Rapha, and Paseah, and Tehinna, the father of Ir-Nahash. These are the men of Rekah. All right, did that help you out? Did you learn a lot? See the connection with the context? I hear you're laughing. Are you laughing at me? Well, the context really doesn't help us out any, does it? Just have all these names, and it doesn't really make any connection with our passage. So in this context, in this case, the context doesn't really help us out a whole lot. Now, if you go up to verse 1 of chapter 4, it starts about talking about the sons of who? The Judah. Okay, so maybe Jabez here is part of the tribe of Judah, since it's talking about that tribe in this section. But I want to back out a little bit and look at the larger context. The context of this in the larger book of the books of Chronicles. The theme of these books, the Chronicles, is that God is faithful. God is faithful to His promises to His people, Israel. And one of the thematic emphases of this is God's faithfulness in answering prayer. You can see this in several places throughout these books, that God is faithful in answering prayer. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, the next chapter, verses 20 through 22, talks about how God helped the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh when they prayed to God, to asking Him to help them as they fought against the Hagrites, these Canaanites. They prayed to Him, and God was faithful in answering and helping them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it talks about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat prayed to God that God would deliver them from the threats of Ammon and Moab and Seir. And God delivered the Israelites. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, it talks about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Hezekiah prays that God would extend his life. And God grants Hezekiah many more years of service for him. And so we have this thematic emphasis throughout Chronicles of how God is faithful in answering prayer. And here we have Jabez, prays to God, and God shows His faithfulness by answering Jabez when he prayed to Him. But really, all we know about Jabez is what this passage really reveals to us. And there are three characteristics in particular that these verses point out. And the first one, right there, verse 9, it says, Jabez was what? He was more honorable than his siblings. Now, this word honorable, usually when we use the word honorable, it's a very positive thing. But here, this word for honorable, it's not necessarily a positive thing. The word has the idea of someone with renown or someone with distinction. There's something outstanding about them. It could be something, they're renowned for something terrible, or they're renowned for something good. It could have the idea of infamy, someone who is infamous. It can be used positively or negatively. It just has this idea of renown or distinction or dignity or influence, something like that. So why was Jabez honorable? Why did he have this place of distinction? Well, it may be because of what it tells us about Jabez. The distinctive thing about Jabez in this passage was that he prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. So it seems that he was a man of prayer. He had this distinguished place of honor. The second thing that this passage tells us about him is why he received his name. His mother called his name Jabez. Why? Because I bear him with sorrow. So it could have been that his mother may have experienced a lot of pain during his delivery. Or some people have suggested that his mother was worried that he would be handicapped. She was sorrowful about this. Or his family was experiencing great difficulty when he was born, causing the family great sorrow. But the point was, from his infancy, Jabez was familiar with pain and sorrow. And even the name Jabez, it sounds very similar for the Hebrew word for pain. So every time that Jabez hears his name pronounced, he's reminded of the sorrow, of the painful family circumstances, or the painful frailty of life, or the pain that his mother had when she bore him into the world. And so this familiarity with pain is probably what led Jabez to some of the emphases that he has in his prayer. And the third thing it tells us about him is that verse 10, what did he do? He called on the God of Israel. He prayed to God. And so that leads to our second question. We've answered the question of who was Jabez, and this is all we know about him. And the second question is, what did he pray? So let's count these requests. It says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, okay, here's the first request. Oh, that thou wouldest what? Bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve or pain me. So how many requests? I counted four requests. Bless me, enlarge my border, Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that it will not pain me. Now, initially, Jabez's requests kind of look a little bit selfish, don't they? Kind of self-centered. But before we look at these four requests in detail, I want to make just a couple of observations. First of all, who is Jabez praying to? Jabez is praying to the God of Israel. Jabez recognizes that God is the only source of these requests for which he's asking. And that's why this incident is recorded in our Bibles. Jabez believed that God is the only source of true blessing. And God is the only one who is ultimately in control of our physical success. God is the only one who is able to give us strength for our day-to-day activities and responsibilities. God is the only one who ultimately protects us from harm and from these painful, sorrowful circumstances. And Jabez recognizes these things. And he demonstrates the spirit of humility by asking God for these things. And that's why he prays to the one true God, the God of Israel, that God would accomplish these things in his life. And the second thing I want to point out was that the New Testament makes some observations about prayer that we ought to keep in mind as we look at these requests. The New Testament identifies at least two prerequisites for answered prayer. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it tells us that a clean conscience is necessary for answered prayer. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And another prerequisite for answered prayer is faith. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The New Testament indicates that a clean conscience and faith is necessary for answered prayer. So with that in mind, let's look at Jabez's requests in more detail. The first request is he asks that God would bless me indeed. Where does blessing come from? Where does true blessing come from? True blessing comes from God. And this is not a bad request. This is a good request. All of us want God's blessing in our lives, don't we? And we routinely pray this for other believers. We ask God that God would bless so-and-so or bless missionary so-and-so. But it is a vague, very vague and general request, and so it may be a summary of the next three requests that Jabez is asking for. But the big point here is that God is the only source of true blessing. And his blessing is worth our asking for. But we need to remember that the blessing, God's blessing, does not always mean success from a human standpoint. It doesn't mean that you will have great success in ministry. Take the prophet Jeremiah, for instance. God put his blessing on Jeremiah to proclaim his words to the people of Israel. It says in his commission in Jeremiah 1, God says that the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And God says, I have made you as a fortified city and as a pillar of bronze, walls of bronze against the whole land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you. God blessed Jeremiah. God was with him. But did Jeremiah experience success from a human standpoint? Jeremiah preached to the people of Israel, but did they come flocking to the Lord in repentance? No, they didn't. Jeremiah experienced very little of what we would call success. But God still blessed him. God's blessing was with Abraham, was with Jeremiah. But it may not look like success from our standpoint. And just because we ask God to bless us does not mean he always will bless us. Take the man Job, for instance. Look at the life of Job. It says that he was perfect. He was upright. He feared God. He turned away from evil. It talks about how he continually offered burnt sacrifices for his children. But what happened to Job? In 24 hours, he lost everything that he had. Lost all his possessions, lost his three daughters, lost his seven sons, lost all of his possessions. And shortly after that, he loses his health. And his wife also turns against him, telling him to curse God and die. But God was still in control. And God was still good. There was something else that was going on that Job knew nothing about. When Jabez becomes more specific about what blessings he has in mind, we may become a little bit uncomfortable. Some of these requests seem a little bit self-serving. The next request, he asks God that God would enlarge my coast. Now, this word coast, typically when we use the word coast, we think of a water border. But this word, particular word coast, it just refers to any border, whether it's a water border or a land border. Jabez is asking that God would expand his territory, expand his borders. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 doesn't say anything about the historical context in which Jabez lived. And so there are a couple ways that some people take this request. Some people have looked at this request in light of the conquest of Canaan. Perhaps Jabez lived during this time when they were still conquering the land. Even by the time of Joshua, in the book of Joshua, it talks about how there was very much land left to be possessed. This was a continual battle for the Israelites, continually taking more and more of the land that the Lord had promised. So perhaps at the time that Jabez lived, there was still land to be conquered in Canaan. And Jabez is taking a hold of this promise. God had promised them this land. And he's asking God that he would appropriate these promises, to expand his land, to take this land from the Canaanites, this land that God had promised to him, to drive out the wicked Canaanites, to expand and enlarge his borders, to take the land that God had promised them. So that may be what is going on here, what Jabez is talking about. Or perhaps Jabez is asking God to restore to him land that was originally given to his family, but was now currently possessed by others. But I think that we can follow the example of Jabez here. Grasping God's promises, praying God's promises back to him. Take them for your own. Ask God that he would fulfill his promises. Ask God that he would help you to appropriate the promises he has given to us in Scripture. What are some promises that God has made to us that we find in Scripture? Anybody? I will never leave you or forsake you. That's something that you can pray back to God. Pray it back in thanksgiving. Pray it back as a request to God. You've promised that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And I pray that you would do that. What else? What are other promises? Yes. Yes, he will direct our paths. That's a promise that we can pray back to him. What's another one? Yes. He will supply all of our needs. What's another one? Eternal life. He has promised eternal life for those who trust in him. These are things that we can pray back to God. Pray to God in thanksgiving. And pray to God that he would continually do these things in our lives. Pray these promises back to God. Jabez's third request, let your hand be with me, that thine hand might be with me. When the Scripture talks about God's hand, it typically is referring to God's guiding and protecting presence in our lives. His protecting presence and empowerment in our lives. You can see other places throughout Scripture where it talks about God's hand. The book of Ezra talks about the man Ezra, who was a scribe who wanted to go back to Jerusalem to help restart the temple, to rebuild the temple. He was living in exile in Babylon, but he goes to the king of Babylon to request for permission to return to Jerusalem. And it says that after he went to the king of Babylon, the king granted him all he requested because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. God's empowering presence was with him. And he later on in the book of Ezra, he says, "Then I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me, and I gathered leading men up from Jerusalem to go up with me." Ezra's experienced God's hand, and that meant that God empowered him and really did wonderful things in his life. And so when Jabez is asking for God's hand to be with him, he's asking for God's guiding presence, God's empowerment in his life. And I pointed out earlier that the very fact that Jabez is asking for these things indicates that he truly believes that God is the source of beneficial guidance and ultimate empowerment in his life. But there's an additional implication in Jabez's request. It also indicates that Jabez is implying that he himself is weak. He himself is in need of God's empowerment. He is in need of God's wisdom and guiding presence in this life, in his life. So a petition like this does take a degree of humility. And all of us, I think we can agree that all of us need God's empowerment. All of us need God's wisdom in our lives, don't we? And in fact, the Bible commands us to pray for wisdom. James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom," and how many of us lack wisdom? All of us lack wisdom. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to ask of God, and it shall be given to him. Matthew 28, God's presence is necessary for fulfilling the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." So this request of Jabez for God's guiding and empowering presence is very appropriate for believers today. The final request that Jabez has, he asks God to keep him from harm. "Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." In this final request, Jabez is probably asking for God's protection primarily from physical harm and danger. But I think this prayer for protection from harm could also include protection from moral harm, from temptation to sin that difficult physical circumstances can often promote. And we often pray this for others and for ourselves. For instance, when going on a road trip, for instance, we often pray that God would give us protection and traveling mercies. And we ought to ask God for protection in our lives. But I'd like to tie this specific request in with the overall purpose for which these books of Chronicles were written. The books of Chronicles were written near the end of the Jewish captivity. They were written to the remnant that had returned from captivity back to the promised land, back to the land of Israel. And they were written to these captives, to these returned captives, to encourage them amid very, very difficult circumstances. Over the many years that the Israelites had been in captivity, others had moved into the territory. People who were very unfriendly to the Israelites. And so when the Israelites begin moving back, they find that people are there where they had once lived. And these people are not excited about the Israelites moving back in, building the walls of Jerusalem, building the temple. And they experience incredible opposition. The people of the land oppose them building the walls of Jerusalem. They oppose the building of the temple. The books of Ezra, Nehemiah talk about this. And so God includes this little incident about Jabez. Jabez prayed to God for protection, that God would protect him from evil. And God answered his request. And so this returned remnant in Israel, they're facing extremely difficult circumstances. And they too can pray to God, that God would protect them from their enemies. And God is capable of answering their request. And we serve the same God that Jabez served. God saw fit to protect Jabez when he asked for protection. And we too ought to ask God for protection and see his mighty hand at work. So what happened? He prays these requests, and what does it say at the end of verse 10? and God granted him that which he requested. God gave Jabez exactly what he asked for. God blessed Jabez. God enlarged Jabez's border. God's hand was with Jabez. And God kept Jabez from harm so that it did not pain him, kept him from evil. So what can we learn? What can we learn from the prayer of Jabez? Well, I've already made some application. But the big point of this passage is that God hears and answers our prayers. Sometimes God answers yes. Sometimes God does what we ask him to do, just as he did for Jabez. But sometimes God answers no. This happened in the case of Paul. He talks about this in the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul talked about something that he called, what did he call it? He talked about this thorn in the flesh. And he asked God how many times? 3 times he asked God that God would remove it from him. And what did God do? God didn't remove it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. God did not see fit to answer yes to that request, even with a man like Paul. The prayer of Jabez is not some sort of magical formula for health, wealth, and success. This passage is not about us, not about what we can get from God in prayer. This passage teaches us about the character and about the power of God. It teaches us that God is willing to answer our prayers. And it teaches that God is powerful enough to answer our prayers. He is omnipotent. How many of you are familiar with C.S. Lewis? The name C.S. Lewis. Most of you. He's most well known for the Chronicles of Narnia series of novels. What Lewis is doing in those books is he's really draws a lot of illustrations to illustrate theological truths all throughout those books. And sometimes he's right on target. Other times he's off just a little bit. But in one of those books, The Magician's Nephew, he makes a very interesting illustration regarding prayer. This book is about two children. Their names are Diggory and Polly. And they're on a journey with a horse by the name of Fledge. And of course, in the Chronicles of Narnia, many of the animals are talking animals. So this is a talking horse, and this horse is also a flying horse. Of course, in the story, Aslan is a picture of God. But unfortunately for Diggory and Polly, they forgot to bring any food with them on their journey. And so they begin to get very, very hungry. And they have a conversation with their horse, Fledge, about this predicament. Well, I do think someone might have arranged about our meals, said Diggory. I'm sure Aslan would have, if you had asked him, said Fledge. Well, wouldn't he know without being asked, said Polly. Well, I've no doubt that he would, said the horse, still with his mouth full of grass. But I have a sort of idea he likes to be asked. See the point that he's making? Lewis is making an allusion to prayer here. Aslan knew that they needed food, and he could have provided it for them. But he wanted the children to ask him for it. And God knows what we need without being asked. God is omniscient. He knows our needs. He knows the promises that he's made to us. He knows that we need protection. He knows that we need wisdom. But he likes to be asked. He wants us to ask for these things and to pray for these things. And he has commanded us to come to him in prayer. So I hope that's an encouragement to you as you come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close. Our Father, we thank you for prayer. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. We pray that we would be more faithful in our prayer lives, that we would come to you with all of our requests. We thank you that you desire to hear from us, that you desire that we ask of you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I thought we should pray for the Thrill Falls and ask the Lord to help them. Do you have some specific requests, Andrew and Charlene, that you would like us to pray for?
A big one would be reopening PDF so we can get back.
All right.
And another one would be prepare for classes. Just the logistics of that.
Okay, yes.
Another request would be safety traveling as we still have a few more meetings to get.
All right. Could somebody pray for that tonight? Thank you, Leslie.
Amen, Father. Thank you. We can just come to you in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that the borders of India would be open again for visitor visas, Lord, tourist visas. Lord, you have the way. All things are in your hands, Father. We do bring our request for this, Lord, that people that want to go and present Christ and bring Christ to this country will be allowed in. Lord, have your way, your will be done on the earth, your kingdom come. Lord, we pray for wisdom and strength, energy in preparing for classes, Lord. Lord, you make a way. Be physical. Be the physical strength and stamina. Amen. Lord, meet all the physical needs of this dear couple. Lord, meet their need for a new battery in their cars tonight.
Lord,
which is add special protection in their travel and all the arrangements that need to be done.
Amen.
We can't do anything without you. You are everything. Lord, we just lift up our praise to you that we have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. Know all our needs.
Amen.
Before we even ask
them.
In the name
of Jesus. Amen. And Father, I do pray that you would be with Andrew as he prepares for these classes, and that as he may be doing this online, I ask that you would help him to study and in such a way that it would stir his heart, and then would in turn stir the hearts of his students. Lord, I ask that you would just be with us, help us in our ministry. Lord, we think of these requests by Jabez. And Father, I pray that you would be with our ministry, that you would bless it, that you would do a work of grace in the days to come. Lord, I ask that you would speak to the hearts of our people regarding this Easter, and Lord, help us to be able to see visitors come, not only to come to church, but they would come to the Savior. And Lord, we pray that you would bless Nathan Herbster as he comes and ministers to us and give him wisdom regarding his future ministry. Lord, be with our people, that they would be burdened to think of good questions that would encourage Nathan and Karis as they seek your will in the days to come. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Brother Willis as he comes and speaks to us, that our hearts would be turned to you, Lord. We ask that you would send a revival to our hearts, that we would be truly submissive to do all things that you would have us to do. Lord, I pray that you would enlarge our coasts. Lord, help us to see more people come to our church. Lord, that you would enlarge our ministries, that we would be able to see you work in such a way. Lord, we pray that you would bring us children that would be friends to the children we already have, that would be an encouragement to them, and that you would enlarge our adult classes, that you would enlarge our work according to your will. Lord, we don't ask for greatness in number so much as we ask for an enlargement spiritually, that our people would grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that we would be enlarged in our walk with you. And Father, we do pray that you would be with us. Lord, if you're not with us, we have nowhere to turn. Father, we ask for your abiding strength. And your word tells us that if we abide, if you abide with us and we abide and your word abide in us and we abide in you, that we can ask whatsoever we will. And you would answer according to your will. And I pray that you would help us to truly and genuinely have your power and your strength. Because, Lord, we're a needy people. And, Father, I pray that you would keep us from evil. Keep us from harm. Lord, we know that there are forces at work out in this world and our country that would undermine the things of God. And I ask that you would protect us from that evil. And Lord, as we think about, for instance, this Equality Act, that it would not in any way have a negative impact on our ministry. I pray, God, that you would work, that you would protect us from harm, but Lord, also lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we know that you are able to do that. For we know that you can answer these requests. And so, Father, we ask because we know that you are able to grant us that which we've requested. Guide us now. Protect us. And, Lord, be with this dear couple and help them in the days to come and help them to be able to have safety. Lord, be with, as Leslie prayed, that their vehicle would hold up and that they would be able to do the things that you have called them to do. Bless us now. Give us this evening for your honor and glory. Thank you for bringing Andrew and Charlene our way. And Father, we know that you answer. And so we ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.